It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Freedom. We hear a lot about freedom in our world today. We hear it on the news. We hear it when people are fighting desperately for their freedom. When news articles run about terrible acts of terrorism that has happened, and people step up and say, what we need is freedom. We hear about it in the movies. And if you're really, you know, a little older than some, you these incredible movies, like you maybe it's Braveheart that you think of when you think of freedom. And him standing up, Braveheart standing up and yelling, you can take our lives, but you cannot take our freedom. All kinds of movies, whether it's war movies, movies like Braveheart or others, where people come and talk about how important freedom is to them. But a lot of us, when we think about freedom, we think of advertisements. Not that long ago, or maybe a little bit long ago, there was those Freedom 55 ads. Do you remember those? Freedom 55. If only you can buy the right products and save the right money now, then you can look forward to retiring at 55 years old so that you can be free. You never have to worry about work or money ever again. You can go spend all of your time on beaches and spend the rest of your time with family members, you know, if you want to, but not if you have to. Or the Lotto 649 ones. Imagine the freedom with the pictures of the people on those really expensive boats not doing much with their lives. Imagine what it would be like. Imagine the freedom. No matter what comes to mind when you think of freedom, there's something in all of us that wants that. But the trouble is that no matter how much money you have, so that you can buy anything and go anywhere, no matter how much power you have, so that you have, you know, the political freedom to make the choices that you want, or the ability to say things and make them happen. No matter how much personal freedom you have, you know, you've got the health to be able to do kind of what you want. The personal freedom, you know, if you're one of the lucky few that ends up managing to find a sweet spot in retirement with, you know, no work and no money problems. I'm not sure who that is, but apparently they're on the television. But no matter how wonderful your life appears to be, if the freedom that you have does not come because Jesus Christ has set you free, then you're still a slave. A slave to sin and all of the bad things that we know are wrong, but we just keep doing. A slave to others and what they want you to do, regardless of what you want. And a slave to yourself, that part of us that just wants to go and do what feels good, regardless of whether it's a good idea or not. Until Jesus Christ sets us free, then we are still slaves. But here's the deal. What is freedom anyways then? If it's not really being rich and powerful and having all of the chances to do what we want, what is real freedom? Well, our passage today actually talks some about what freedom isn't. Paul was writing this letter to the Galatians, and we had talked, those of us who've been worshiping here over the summer have gone through some of the book of Galatians, and there's a lot in here about freedom. And in this passage, Paul kind of stops, and he sums up everything he's talking about so far. You see, the Galatians had a problem. They started out on the right path. They had heard about Jesus, and they put their faith in Jesus Christ who died for them so that their sins could be forgiven, so that their hearts could be set free, and so that they could become sons and daughters of God. But as time went on, the Galatians started running into two different problems. Some of them wanted to use this newfound freedom to do anything and everything that feels good. They would have fit in really well in a lot of places in our world today. You know what you want, you go and get it. It doesn't really matter what the costs are to you or your wallet or to anybody else. You do what feels good. Others of them really, really wanted to do what God wants. They were all excited about this Christian thing, about loving God, about appreciating what God had done for them. And so they went looking for, how can we make God even happier? God sends such great things for us. We should do good things for God. And that's when some people showed up at their churches and said, we know what you need to do for God. You see, Paul the Apostle, he didn't tell you the whole story. He told you the good, easy parts of the story, but he forgot to tell you, now that you're a Christian, these are the ways that you should live for God. And they had a list, some of the most important ones. Maybe their list was, you should not wear blue jeans to church, and you should make sure that your church service is at 11 o'clock in the morning, and you should only go to movies if they're G-rated and aren't running on Sundays, and... Well, no, you've probably known people that have lists like that one. Their list was different. Their list said, all of those good rules that God gave his people in the first half of the Bible? All of that God's law? If you want to be part of God's family, it isn't enough to believe in Jesus. You also need to follow God's law. After all, he gave you this good law. You need to follow it. And then you will be real daughters and sons of God. Well, when Paul heard that his people were buying into this, he was really upset. And he couldn't get there fast enough to tell them that there was something wrong. So he wrote them a letter. And as we read the letter of Galatians, we're hearing Paul's answer. And he says, no, 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 no. He says, if Jesus Christ has died for you and you believe in what Jesus has done, that's what makes you sons and daughters. It's not Jesus plus following God's law. It's Jesus. And once your heart is tied up in who Jesus is and what Jesus does for you, God has put his Holy Spirit into your heart. And from there on, your Holy Spirit will help you figure out what it looks like to live a life that loves God and loves people. But it's not Jesus plus the law. That's where we get to this whole thing at the beginning, this whole circumcision bit. Because when we hear that today, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. And it's frankly probably awkward. And it's, what on earth, how do you apply that today? Especially because for generations in Ontario, when a baby boy was born, they were circumcised at the hospital. So now you might come along and read this today and go, ew, I'm in trouble for something that I have no control over, nor can I change. And Paul seems to say, now you're not, you've fallen away from grace. Jesus is useless to you. You need to know that's not how this works. You need to know this is going to be okay. You see, in those days, circumcision wasn't something that happened at the hospital. And frankly, for the last 20 years, circumcision isn't something that happens at Ontario hospitals either. If a family decides to have their son circumcised, then they actually need to jump through a whole bunch of hoops and try to find somebody who's willing to do that and pay for it out of their pocket, because it's not done through Ontario health coverage and it's not done routinely at hospitals anymore. But wherever you fall in the whether you want your baby boy to be circumcised, that question today in Ontario is not the same as the question that the Galatians were dealing with at that point in the Roman Empire. You see, the people who were circumcised were the people who had been born Jewish, or the people who loved God so much that they became Jewish. Then when they were circumcised, they were saying, I am now God's son or God's daughter, or their parents were saying this for them. This is God's baby. This baby belongs to God's people. And this baby, just like the rest of our family, is going to live according to God's law. God has already adopted this baby, and now this baby is going to have the requirement, just like the rest of us do, to follow God's laws that God gave God's people in order to show that they are part of God's family. Right? So, the Galatians heard and were told by these visiting preachers, if you want to show that you are God's family, you must follow all the Old Testament laws, including, and most importantly, they said, circumcision. Paul says, circumcision and the rest of the law were good. God gave them for a good reason. God gave them to bring God's people to a place where Jesus Christ could be born as a baby Jewish boy, circumcised on the eighth day, who could grow up to become a man who would teach his people and all people who God is and what God is like and how much God loves us. And then this Jewish man, who was also God incarnate, went and died on a Roman cross so that all people, Jewish or not Jewish, could become sons and daughters of God. And so Paul says, circumcision doesn't count for anything. Uncircumcision doesn't count for anything. What counts is faith in Jesus Christ and showing that by your love. What does it have to do with slavery and freedom? Well, freedom is not being a slave who has to follow every single Old Testament law so that you can be a Jesus follower, so that you can be God's daughter or God's son. Faith is not that. Faith is not doing everything that our religious teachers tell us. Even if they are really enthusiastic, incredibly persuasive. Because I'm telling you that if a preacher, whether it's me or anybody else, stands up in front of you and tells you that you need to do something that is against what Christ has done for us and what we read about God in our Bibles, then you need to say, no, wait, let's think about this, let's read it, let's talk about it. Because we are not slaves to what people say. Jesus Christ has set us free. And we are not slaves to ourselves. Freedom is not being a slave to having to do everything that feels good, to having to do everything that you really want, to saying, you know, someday I want to be at the top of my profession, and then not having any choice except for to go at that with every fiber of your being and every moment of your life. We are not slaves to how we are going to live our lives, because Jesus Christ has set you free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And freedom is being able to be who God has created you to be. And freedom is being able to do what God has called you to do. Freedom is being able to be what God has called you to be. God has called you and created you to be His son, His daughter. A beautiful, imperfect person that Jesus Christ died for, so that you can be part of God's family. And we respond to that by faith, by believing and trusting and hoping that it is true and that we can trust the God who loves us. And freedom is to be able to do what God has called you to do, to love God back, Jesus Christ who loved you first, to love God and to love your neighbor. That's what Paul says. Paul says, don't think that all those Old Testament laws are bad. The point isn't that they were awful. The point is that you don't need them anymore to become God's family. And the point is, it's all summed up in love your neighbor as yourself. When we love God with our whole heart, and we love our neighbor, with our hands and with our feet, with our money and with our words, when we're there with them when they're hurting, and when we celebrate with them when they're happy. Whether it's the neighbor that lives in your house and you change their diapers every morning, or whether it's the senior who is stuck and can't get out of that chair and needs to be wheeled to the washroom in their long-term care bed. When we love our neighbors, we are doing what God has called us to do. And this is freedom. And the miracle is that it looks different for every one of us, because what God has called me to do is going to be different than what God has called you to do. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, stand firm and don't let yourself be yoked, tied up again into slavery. You are a free person. You do not need to follow every religious tradition from your upbringing unless those things help you to love God with your whole heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You are free. You don't need to do everything that the preacher on television or somebody else that you hear in the street or your mother's voice in the back of your head tells you is the right way to obey God and be God's good little boy and good little girl. You are free. You are no longer a slave to everything that the world around us and the little voice in your head says, you got to do that because it's going to be awesome. You should do this because it'll be fun. You should forget the consequences. It'll be great. You aren't a slave to that voice anymore. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So now, my free brothers and sisters, we get to be God's daughters and God's sons together, being who God has called us to be, doing what God has called us to do. You are free. And God loves you. So let's go out there and love God and love one another together. Let's pray. Lord God, you amaze us. You amaze us because we know that there's nothing in us that deserves that kind of a love. Because we know that we've been stuck, chained so long, and you have set us free. We're incredibly thankful for that. Help us to discover each and every day what it means to love you and to love those around us, to live with God's Spirit helping us. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In your name, amen.